If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol for this Monday, November 29th, 2021. My name is Nate Bucati. Todd Lebo joins me in studio today in place of the vacationing Stephen St. John. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, man.
What a happy feel. You got any more bad things you can play for us, Jake? Don't you have Arkansas dominating Missouri in the second half?
I needed to find some sound of Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma.
Well, he didn't tell anyone
just like
in
a,
person.
Yeah.
Don't you have Dayton dropping a last-second shot in on the Jayhawks you can play?
I could have played that.
I was going to say, what's the little piano keys that play when a cartoon bandit is trying to sneak out in the middle of the night? Because that would be Lincoln Riley trying to sneak out of Oklahoma to go to USC.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to talk about nothing but high school football today, because that's the only thing that seemed to win anything around here.
That's what we got.
Over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Go Blue Valley Northwest.
St. James.
Shout out to my high school classmate, Jason Denton, defensive coordinator at St. James.
And even that wasn't all good, because, like, Liberty North got housed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was some...
Pius going on to the finals.
Go Pius.
Yeah.
See?
There you go. There's something.
That's something.
The one time I don't want Jake to play soccer highlights. Like, the only time. The only time, you know.
I almost didn't play anything.
Yeah.
I almost didn't, but then, I mean, it's the...
You got to do what you got to do.
It's a hard lead-in.
Yeah.
Hey, here you go, guys.
Yeah.
Mike's hot.
Well, we've done that before.
We've
had corrupted carts and things.
Yeah. We have.
I would like to pretend that sports didn't exist this past weekend.
Hey, how about that? We had Thanksgiving. You had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, man.
Thanksgiving was
incredible.
Seems like forever ago.
Thanksgiving was incredible at our house. It was one of the best ones we've ever had.
You dominated the backyard.
My team lost. I sent the one video that was positive. The one video where I actually made my nephew Merrick look bad and he wasn't running all over the field on me. But we had a football game, and that's all that really matters to me.
That's what matters.
What a dumpster fire of a weekend in local sports.
It's a blessing the Chiefs were off. Somehow they would have lost.
They just got to sit back and watch everybody in the West win, it seemed like.
Well, they didn't get that good. Remember last week?
And I need to say something real quick. If you're watching on TV, we have a glitch going on. We'll get that fixed in the break.
That's me? Am I the glitch?
You're the glitch.
I'm the glitch. Fix the glitch.
I'll fix it in the break. I can't fix it live. I got to fix it when we're in break.
Is the glitch that you can't change cameras or something?
No, the glitch, you can't see it on your program.
Okay.
It's only on the off-air. It looks like you're stuttering.
We might be.
You're in the Matrix.
I just don't even know what to do. So
a
couple weeks ago... Remember, like, Chiefs are playing at 325, and Buffalo's getting beat, and who else lost before they? The Titans lost at home, and you're like, oh, this is great. Well, so the only good thing that happened yesterday, I guess the Titans lost, right?
Yeah.
But the bad news is the Patriots are clearly on a roll that we don't like to see.
Yeah.
Buffalo won on Saturday night.
Ravens won last night.
The Titans are done.
They look like toast. I was joking around at one of these stats from last week was, everyone left on the Chiefs schedule is 500 or better. I'm like, well, just for this week, because the Cowboys are certainly going to win.
Yeah.
And the Chargers are going to win. That means the Broncos and Raiders will be under 500. Well, they both won. This division is toit-toit right now.
Yeah.
And they've got, but it's all in front of them for the Chiefs. They got the Broncos this week. I thought it was a stupid move to flex that game to nighttime. Well, now it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks smart. Really good.
Now they're just
a
game behind. Huge game Sunday night at Arrowhead, which will be very exciting. But, you know, I didn't think the Raiders were going to go to Dallas and win, because I thought they were toast. I declared them dead, and they're not dead. Maybe the Cowboys are dead. How'd the Cowboys do against this division? 1-3?
How's the NFC doing against the AFC?
Goal? Not great. AFC's tight. Tough.
I saw this from Jonathan Jones yesterday. 12 teams in the AFC are 500 or better. 6 teams in the NFC are 500 or better. Twice as many teams in the AFC are 500 or better.
And those teams in the NFC have many of them lost to the AFC. Because the Cowboys are one of those 6 teams, and they're 1-3 against this division.
I think that for a lot of the season, we've been kind of thinking that the power lies in the NFC.
Right. We didn't realize the strength.
Yeah.
Overall.
Maybe it's top heavy in the NFC. You know, you've got three teams that seem to be kind of separating themselves. Whereas in the NFC, in the AFC, it's like there's no separation. There's just a bunch of good teams that...
The only true separation is in the South, and we think the Titans are done.
Right.
So they may end up winning their division with I don't know what.
They've got a two-game lead over the Colts. That's not over.
But they swept them, though, so it's really a three-game lead.
That's true.
But and the Colts lost a big one yesterday. They had a lead. Yeah.
As a backbreaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so it was tough for them. But, yeah, it was this... this weekend, I guess the good thing that happened, I think we're all in the same boat. I mean, listen, I'm part of the good thing that happens. People root against Oklahoma, right? So people are happy Oklahoma lost. So, I'm not.
I'm happy
Ohio State lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch.
I sure thought Alabama was done, but Auburn just brought them right back in the game. Mm-hmm. They just got it back for them. And then, as we've seen, we've made all these bold calls. Eli Drinkwitz went for two against Florida. Lance Leipold went for two against, and then you see this Brian Harsin, whose team is 6-5. They've got the Iron Bowl. We're not going to talk about the kid running out of bounds that ruined the game, but in overtime they have one play to win the game. Kicks it, just kicks it. So then you know what it came down to? 15 minutes later, they had to go make one
conversion play. Yeah.
Just do it the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Embarrassing. I don't call for people's jobs. It's a tough thing. It's your first year at school. But you have a chance to beat Alabama at your place with five losses, and they give you one play. You go take that play. You don't play for a second overtime and then hope that they both kick field goals. I mean, it's just freaking unbelievable. So that would have helped had Alabama lost too, because then all the blue blood type things that we're sick of seeing, Alabama would have been eliminated.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know if Alabama can ever be eliminated.
Hey, don't look now. You know who snuck themselves right into this? Ugly old Notre Dame is right there.
Hey.
Last second win against Toledo, Notre Dame. Double overtime against a crappy Florida State team, Notre Dame. They're just as bad as all these other teams.
Go Irish.
Coming up on the show.
Am I done complaining?
No, we're going to get to more complaining. Yeah. You're trying to change the subject. We're
talking 3 hours and 50 minutes left of complaining.
Uh-oh.
We got Sam Mellinger coming in the studio. Is he coming to the studio? 8
he
o'clock?
He should be refreshed. He had a little week off and everything.
Yeah.
He seems to be excited.
Yeah, Sam, he'll bring some energy.
Yes.
Bill Moss at 9:05 always brings energy. Adam Teicher always brings energy at 9:30. So 9 o'clock, we're just going to start looking forward to Chiefs Broncos. It's Bronco week.
It is Bronco week.
I mean, let's instead of looking...
Don't forget Gary Lezak's thoughts on Lincoln Riley.
Oh, boy.
Lezak and I were texting during Bedlam.
Oh, boy.
It's something he's mad about if he texts me out of the blue.
All right. Let's just go there first.
Must we?
Yes. What? Why is Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to go to USC?
This is what I think, not knowing Lincoln Riley, not having talked to Lincoln Riley, just reading the tea leaves for the past 6 months. I think this deal to go to the SEC was not Lincoln Riley's choice. They certainly didn't come say, hey, coach, what do you think about this? That's not the way this worked. This worked with people. This isn't even Joe Castiglione's call. This is the people higher up are like, we need to go do this. Now, and certainly it was... Looks like Texas, and the Texas came to him and said, you want to do this? And they're like, yes.
Administration.
Way up there. And they can't even blame dumb David Boren because he's done, okay? But they did this clandestine. They were hoping it was going to be hidden all the way till this year, but it got out. And I don't think Lincoln Riley thinks that's the greatest thing for Oklahoma football. Now, I don't either. I've told all of you guys as they go, I think Oklahoma will be fine. But will they win six straight SECs? No, they wouldn't win six straight SECs. Part of the reason I thought they'd be fine is because they thought they had a really good coach. Right now, they don't have a coach. So right now, I'm worried, like everyone should be. You don't have a coach? Who's next? Is it Bob Stoops next? Or is it John Blake next? You don't know who they're going to hire. And now
by the way, you mean metaphorically Bob Stoops, because could it really be Bob Stoops?
No, I don't think so.
Because he's interim, right?
He's interim, because someone's got to handle... Because the worst part of this now is signing day was February 5th or whatever. Well, now signing day is December 17th or 18th. That's all changed. Very few people actually sign on the 5th. They want to sign early. They'll sign early and get to school, right?
Yeah.
So now they've already, two commitments, I think last night, have said, we're opening it back up. I mean, so the world is just, strategically done. I think many of my Sooner fans think this was done at this particular time. I don't know how long USC's been talking to them. They fired their coach weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, and they've been quiet about it. You haven't seen their name out and all this stuff. So I think the reason he's leaving is because I think he'd rather not go make the path to get to the college football playoff harder. So what he's just done is gone to make it easier.
It makes a world of sense from his perspective.
The Pac-12 has been an easy path if someone would just go take it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But no one has gone and taken it. Southern Cal was as good as there was in football in the middle 2000s when Pete Carroll was there. Since then, they've had a few highs. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin even won 10 games. I mean, I think Clay Helton won 10. I mean, they do that. They just can't do it for very long, right?
Yeah.
So if you get a 38-year-old guy who's already recruiting, they get four or five kids a year out of California, some of the best kids. He's just going to go recruit California kids now and do that. Now, I think he's crazy because I think L.A., you can have it. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law live there now. This dude's from Muleshoe, Texas. And his world is going to be a little bit different there.
But if you got money like he's going to have,
he's going to have money,
gonna be just,
all that stuff.
You're going to be living just fine.
He's
going to
be living fine. I don't know.
The city is more manageable if you got money. But
absolutely. But just, I'm not even talking about just taxes. I'm talking about that freaking city, that state. It's crazy out there, especially right now.
Oh, yeah. My brother lives in the OC. I mean, it is nutty. But,
it's nuts.
But, like, the thing is, like, you can separate yourself from all the nuts.
With all that money,
all that
you'll
money.
Be just fine, and you just go do your job.
Yeah.
And then if you can go take Southern Cal back to prominence, you sit there and look and see who's on TV on these shows. Matt Leinart was a nobody in the NFL. He got a TV job, right?
Yeah.
Reggie Bush, who's the Petros Papadakos does those games. He's a Southern Cal lineman from years ago. That's L.A. That's the spot. That's where things go. So if that's what you're down with, that's what you're down with. But I think he wasn't pining to go to UCLA or USC. I think he was pining to not go to the SEC. And if you don't want to go to the SEC from Oklahoma, it's to tell you how hard the SEC is. We've
right.
seen how hard it is. Yeah. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, they just run through guys. I mean,
you look at that, and it's like if he doesn't have the type of success that Oklahoma's used to,
fired.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Well, how about this?
Yeah, they treat every program in the SEC treats you like you're supposed to be Alabama.
And you're not. And Oklahoma's close to Alabama. They're just not Alabama, all right? So I'll bring this close to home because most people really don't care about this. Now, I think people care
because I think
they care around here because they think Texas and Oklahoma were snakes about this. And I've said they were snakes.
Yeah.
They were awful. But it's my school. I don't get to choose. They didn't ask me.
Right.
So if my team is going to be in the Missouri Valley or the SEC, I'm going to cheer for my team. I got my dumb sweatshirt on today because my team was my team when Gary Gibbs was the coach. Okay,
right.
It was still my team, and I still wanted to win. I got a tattoo when Gary Gibbs was the coach. So what's that tell you about how much I love my school?
You got a tattoo?
I had no idea that this man has a tattoo.
What?
This is the biggest breaking news on the show that I could ever remember.
You have a tattoo?
Thank God Jake didn't know this either, because I thought you guys were both going to make fun of me for the fact that I didn't know he had a tattoo. Where is this thing?
It's like a girl tattoo. What? It's over on my hip.
Lower.
It's under my underwears. But I got it at OU Texas.
Is it just OU?
It's just a little bad prison tat.
This is absolutely breaking news.
You didn't know this?
How do
everybody knows this.
Come on.
This is the first time you've ever said this on the air.
Maybe.
Yes,
I've
known you for almost 20 years.
I'm not going to show you my tattoo.
I've known you since August of 2002.
Oh my God.
And I had no idea you had a tattoo. You've never said that. You've never
really?
Said that in my presence or
on
my
God.
Radio.
You haven't been at the right party, I guess. I don't know. So
I've been to a lot of parties with you.
You love your school. That's what you do. And I'll bring this back home
this
way.
If Todd Lebo had come in here and said, there's a person in this building that has a tattoo that you don't know about,
you wouldn't have said me?
Guess? And Todd might have been the last person I would have guessed. This is fantastic.
Anyway, so that's the point. I love my school. All right? And we all love our school.
Bit of shock.
That's what we do. So
he loves his school more than I love mine. I don't have a KU tat.
Yeah, I don't have a leather neck tat either.
So, you didn't make a blood oath with your friends if you were to do this one time when you were drunk. I didn't get it when I was drunk, but I was drunk when I promised, and I felt I came through with my promise.
You're a man of your word, Todd.
So, I'll take this here in this way, because I think Oklahoma, football is a little, they're pretty similar to Kansas basketball. I mean, they're great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they haven't won the national title like they're supposed to. Kansas basketball has won one in 33 years. Okay? But no one's going to tell you that Kansas basketball stinks because they win the league all the time. They go to the Final Four. They're always in a tournament. They're a fixture. And that's what Oklahoma football is.
Mm-hmm.
People don't leave Oklahoma football.
Right.
You don't do it. This is the first time a coach has left Oklahoma football on their own to go take a job in college since the 40s. It's the first time a coach left Oklahoma football to take another job, which was in the NFL in 1972. Chuck Fairbanks went to coach the Patriots because he had Pete Carrolled it. It got him in all kinds of probation, so he left, and then Barry Switzer took over, and they won a national title
and Larry
on probation. Yeah, so, I mean, Larry Brown left because they had troubles coming, all right? But you don't leave Oklahoma. Roy Williams left Oklahoma. This feels a lot like it probably felt when Roy left because Roy almost left, but then he didn't leave, and then he stayed, and you're like, well, dude's staying forever.
Yeah.
He's a lifer. Well, then it came back up. Now, the difference is Roy was going to his place.
Yeah, that was his home.
But still, it didn't feel
good.
He's
North Carolina bred and Jayhawk bred.
It didn't feel good when Roy Williams said Kansas isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Literally 2 days after playing for the national title. He's like, well, this just isn't good enough for me. All I've done is go to two straight Final Fours.
Yeah.
And if I could have had someone make two free throws instead of, you know, where they shoot 40% from the line that day.
Yeah.
I'd have had a title. Now, he was going to go if he won the title. He'd love to have won the title and left because then he would have felt like I finished my business.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley never won a title.
Yeah.
But he went to the college football playoff three times and he won all these things. But this, I think, probably feels a lot like it felt for Kansas basketball fans when Roy Williams said, this is pretty good. It's not exactly good enough for me. And it's a whole different world now because the transfer portal, I mean, there could be Caleb Williams could be playing for Lincoln Riley next year. I mean, I fully expect he'll be. You don't know what it's going to be. So it stinks, and it sucks. But what it is you know what the most important thing that Kansas basketball did was they hired the right person to be the head coach.
Yeah.
Now Oklahoma has to go hire the right person, and it's hard to do that right now because people have already been hiring people. I mean, they're not late to the game. This isn't February, but this ain't early. I mean, they've already been. I mean, USC just hired a coach. It's November, you know? So,
well, the reason that you're upset is because you're old enough to remember the two bad Oklahoma coaches that were in between all the good ones.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here, this too. I'll say this. Bob Stoops lost five games three times after winning a national title. Okay, so you get some little down times there, but he was the right guy to stay, and he never left. Yeah. Florida tried to hire him. People tried to hire him. You know, they sniffed around. He always stayed. And that made you feel good. You're like, well, this job's good enough. And I felt good when Lincoln Riley said he's not going to LSU because I thought LSU's a mess. You don't go to LSU.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that the snake in the grass was going to.
I like the fact that he did that at the press conference on after Bedlam. He said,
pool.
I am not going to be the next coach at LSU.
And then answered no more questions about it. He shut it down and answered no more questions about it.
That's when these coaches try to act like they're so high and mighty about things, you know, and they wag their finger at the media for stuff like that. How dare you ask me these questions? Because they're doing all kinds of stuff behind the scenes.
They're all
sneaking off in the middle of the night. We will take a break. We got so much more to handle. KU, K-State, Missouri all lost. KU lost in a stunning heartbreaker. I don't know if it's a heartbreaker. It's a stunner in basketball. Sporting Kansas City ripped my guts out and threw them on the floor and stomped on them last night along with 21,650 people.
They sold all those tickets in 5 days.
Unbelievable. We'll talk about all that coming up, plus more, but also we'll start getting ready for the Chiefs and Broncos. It's Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, I put it off for the whole first segment of the show. I made Todd talk about his biggest anguish.
Thanks, buddy.
From the weekend. Thanks for letting me listen to that for a little bit.
Well, you got to hear soccer highlights heading in, so
yeah,
you had to relive it a little bit there. Let's do it again. I was there.
What happened?
Shoot.
That, I did not see that performance coming. That Sporting Kansas City team, so much better than Real Salt Lake for the balance of the season. They're 0-3 against Salt Lake. They lost at Salt Lake early in the season. They lost on decision day in a game that felt like, you know, that was controversial, yeah. Didn't maybe deserve to win it and all that. And in that game, Sporting looked like the better team the whole game, but they didn't have their good attacking players. You know, they didn't have Johnny Russell and Gadi Kinda and Alan Pulido, so they couldn't create enough chances, so they didn't score and win. So this time around, RSL coming off playing 120 minutes on Tuesday and fighting for every the first team in the history of the Major League Soccer playoffs to win a playoff game without taking a shot. They just defended the whole game until they got to penalties.
You think Sporting thought that's what they were going to do again? Because they didn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe once they fell behind 1-0, they couldn't do it, and so they came out and played. And when they did, Sporting just didn't have an answer. I don't know, because after Sporting scored the goal 1-0, I think every person in that building thought they're going to win this game 3-0. That's what I thought.
And they didn't get anything.
That was kind of at halftime. I go to the restroom, and there's people talking in the bathroom and all this stuff, and there's just media members and stuff are almost, they're already starting to talk about, like, hey, you know, the conference final, is that going to be Saturday? Is that going to be Sunday?
I never didn't feel like that at all, because they were getting dominated before that penalty.
That's true.
Really?
That's 100% true. But when they scored that penalty, they did kind of have a stretch for about 10 minutes after that where that was the only stretch where Sporting looked like the better team.
Yeah, but I mean, I still would give that first half to Real.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they outplayed them the 90% of that match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. So I didn't feel like that. I felt like, get to halftime. I mean,
I was
regroup.
Listening on the way out there to the Sporting Kansas City pregame show with Allie Trost, Nate Bucati, and Jacob Peterson on ESPN Kansas City. And I was a little worried when I heard Jacob Peterson. I don't know their coach's name, Real Salt Lake.
Pablo Mastroeni.
He said,
former U.S. men's national team star.
This guy will have these guys ready. He says nobody can motivate like this guy, because he played.
They played together at the Rapids, yeah.
Earlier in their career,
he was a great. I mean, he was the captain of the Rapids team forever. I mean, he was a great center midfielder.
Played for the national team.
He had those guys coached up and ready to go. He deserves a ton of credit for coaching the way he coached.
Yeah,
to win their previous game.
Those subs,
and then coach him in, and it's up. The little number 29 came in.
Julio.
Just energy.
He
scored the goal.
You could see as soon as he entered the field, this is trouble. This is big time trouble. Yep.
Very springy.
And then Bobby Wood was a sub.
Yep.
And he scored the winner.
You know,
Sporting, Justin Miram was a sub. He set it up.
Sporting is not a super fast team.
I thought Peter's sub was terrible. I mean, Gadi Kinga was the only guy causing any trouble.
So,
and I understand, but like, you're going to, like, that's a giant risk.
I think they were hoping for set pieces or something to get Shelton in there because he's big, but.
Well, they needed to bring Shelton in. I think the question that people have is
Roger.
Maybe they should have started Shelton instead of Pulido because Pulido hadn't played in 2 months, you know, and I think Peter kind of sounded in his postgame like maybe if he had to do it over again, he would have started Shelton, and then you can bring Pulido in if you need a goal late. But it's hard when you're paying a guy, you know, however many million dollars they're paying him. And
he didn't look right, though.
You know, he did not look the same. He did not look like the dangerous Alan Pulido that we saw.
His knee was bothering him big time, you could tell.
Sporting is that, I mean, listen, I love Johnny Russell, but he's not crazy fast. Like springy young guy, right?
Get the ball in the box to him and let him create, but he's not gonna make it.
He's not
going to
want to foot race past everybody.
Yeah.
That's not his game.
They don't. They're not crazy fast team,
right?
They're skilled. They're precision like, and they got some. You know, when Shelton's in there, get some big guys to get in the box and make plays.
Usually they outwork teams, and that's not what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, usually that's something you bring to work when you're going to Sporting. Okay, if we don't take it serious, we're going to get outworked.
Yeah.
And it was the exact opposite. Yeah. Real Salt Lake was getting to every challenge. They were in it, and they, from the beginning, that is, for me, is like what was the biggest piece missing, is that they didn't step up to the challenge. They didn't rise to what was, you know, one of their notches, one of the things.
They weren't winning 50-50 balls.
No.
Beating anyone
with
the ball.
No, they weren't winning any second balls. They were on their back foot. It seemed like the whole game.
Yeah, they were pinned in the whole second half. I mean, that whole second half was played in Sporting Kansas City's half. And that's what I'm saying. I did not see that coming. That doesn't happen at Children's Mercy Park. It doesn't happen against good teams at Children's Mercy Park, let alone a team that snuck into the playoffs in the last game.
I seemed like a real smart guy. I told my wife when we were driving out there, I said, these guys are going to play really boring. You know, they didn't take a shot in their last game. They're going to, you know, probably not even try to score. And so I was really nailed it. I was perfect right on it.
Well,
it
that's just, why, you know what?
What
that's
are you talking
to me,
about?
Though, I will say this as much as it pains me and it's just a gut-wrenching loss for so many reasons. It is the beautiful thing about sports, and it's the problem with college football. You don't know what's going to happen until they take the field. You don't know if Michigan's going to be able to beat Ohio State unless they play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so doing the beauty points and judging based on metrics and all that garbage, then Sporting's just a better team than RSL, but they had to go out and actually do it. And sometimes it comes down to who's up for it and who's not.
Who's
and RSL was more up for it. I mean, that's just the truth. And that's like when you talk about the sub, Jake, I have to be honest about this. During the broadcast, a couple minutes before the sub, I looked at Jacob Peterson and said, I think this game needs Roger Espinoza because this team's getting bossed in the midfield. They can't get out of their own half, and they need somebody to come in and just foul a couple people and wake some people up and change the intensity level of this game. And, you know, maybe at 35 years old, that's not a fair thing to ask of Roger Espinoza at this point. But I thought he did that a lot through the course of this season. And Guy DeKeene was great in the first half. I don't remember him doing anything in the second half because they never got across midfield. You know,
but he's always a threat.
Because, he's at least a threat. That's
I
true.
Mean, and so, like, you have to respect that threat. And as soon as you took him off the field, it's like, we don't have, I mean, you take out that chance, that chances even, you have to defend against the chance.
That was a problem for Sporting this year is that Peter didn't have any subs that he could go to that could change games the way that RSL did.
Well, and the tough part about this is, you know, the game really needed was Gianluca Busio. But, you know, you do what you do. I mean, they did that for the organization.
That's a long-term move, not a short-term move. But here's the thing. The reason, and we'll take a break, the reason it's so painful is because fans, you as an Oklahoma fan, me and Jake as KU basketball fans, all those things, when you watch your teams that are really good teams consistently get to the postseason, you know how rare it is for, even when you have a team that's good enough, for everything to fall the way it needs to,
mm-hmm.
for it to be a special season, right? Like, everything kind of has to come together. You have to stay healthy. You have to have the kind of the bracket fall your way so that matchups work out in your favor. All that stuff has to happen.
This game wasn't supposed to be here. This was supposed to be somewhere else, and then
everything
that
had fallen in their favor. And I almost wonder if that maybe caused them to relax a little bit. You know, because all Peter talked about all week was all we can focus on is this game. We can't talk about the next game. We can't think
it's
about
human
it.
Nature.
But it's human nature. All those guys sat at home on Thanksgiving and watched Portland win that game in Colorado, and they knew, we win this game, we got a banged-up Portland team coming to town. I mean, the path is there for us, and maybe they looked ahead. I don't know. But it hurts because, you know, that those dominoes might not all fall for these guys the rest of their career.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it could be the rest of your career, and you might not have a path like that one to the MLS Cup final, and they squandered it.
And now
that really hurts.
It's such
really
a long hurts. Slog of a season.
Oof.
They got a little bit of short off season here. They'll be training before you know it, right? And
well, depending on how everything plays out, they could be playing in February next year in the Champions League. So, you know, it's and they got some, you know, it'll be interesting to see the kind of business they do in the off season.
All this time to get back to right where they were. Sports are tough, man. It's tough
right?
to get through, and you do all that to get there, and it's sitting there, and you're right. When you miss an opportunity, when it looks like things have worked out really well for you, and this is so much different now than the aggregate games. Right, it's just one game. I like it better. I think the drama is
better.
I think the soccer's better. But when it just gets pulled out from under and the thing's just over, and you're like,
wait a second,
what?
Yeah,
especially
when they scored stoppage time like that. You didn't even have any time during the game to contemplate it. Boom, game over, season over. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. I got a text message from Dr. Andy Godwin from the KU Cancer Center.
I hope this is more uplifting than the weekend.
No,
it's not.
A person who, I will say, the wonderful, amazing researchers and doctors at the KU Cancer Center, gotten to know them because of the money we raised for them with the big steps and all that. Apparently, they were in Orlando for the KU Dayton game, and he said
great.
That put a serious damper on their vacation. That is one thing you have to be careful about when planning sports trips and vacations together. You know?
Well, at least for that is... It's a preseason tournament. It's not like, but So at least you're in Orlando. You had your fun.
All right, let me ask
I'm sitting here. I'm driving around. That was Friday morning, right?
Yeah, but you've been to Orlando.
I'm driving around.
I mean, they went there to go see KU basketball. You don't go to Orlando to
go
to
Orlando. Well, then you go see the Big Mouse. You go see the Big Mouse or, you know, the universe, the Harry Potter world.
I didn't watch the whole game, right? I'm driving around. Listen, I got Haney up there, Haney and Gurley. It's 11-1. Dayton's got to call a timeout. They're just crushing them. I'm like, these guys came to play. This ain't Obi Toppin's Dayton team, right? They're just fine. You know, they already lost a couple games.
They just lost to Austin Peay and somebody else.
And then
they were 2-3 going in.
Then
that game,
I get home later. I'm watching football because there's all kinds of stuff going on. The K-State game's coming down to the wire at that point, and they're trying to get it. I'm clicking back and forth, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this how this is going?
So I want to ask you guys. I sent this tweet out as the game ended because that was a phenomenal finish. That was a crazy shot, hit the rim, could have gone anywhere, bounces in. The whole Dayton team goes nuts. They celebrate. They pour off the bench. They're jumping up and down. Dickie V's calling it the biggest upset of college basketball so far this year. He's going crazy.
One weekend, it's huge.
I tweeted this. Wow, what a finish in that KU Dayton game! Incredible stuff. Fortunately for Kansas, that result won't keep them from accomplishing any of their goals this season. For Dayton, pretty cool to see how much that win meant to them.
It's a big deal.
Tell me what's wrong with that tweet.
Nothing. But what are you hating Kansas for, you jerk? Or what do you think Dayton's no good for, you jerk? Who came after you, the Dayton people or the Kansas people?
The question that you need to be asking is, what's wrong with people? There's nothing wrong with that tweet. What's wrong with people?
I wanted to see if you guys saw something wrong with that.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
I was told it checked two things off the KU bingo card, which I like the fact that there's a bingo card you're keeping.
Oh, you're a stuffed shirt KU fan. None of these games matter except the end. Okay,
yeah,
I got you.
This tweet scores two spots on the KU bingo card. It means nothing, and so cute how much that W meant to the little program.
But you know,
I was called condescending by many people for saying it was cool to see how much it meant to Dayton.
It's true, though.
Did you see them celebrate? They were 2-3. They just beat Kansas, and I said it was cool to see how much it meant to them. That's condescending?
Like, somebody sent me a tweet last night that said, you know, because obviously people are making fun because Oklahoma lost their coach and they lost Bedlam. Is your Twitter broken, Lebo? Well, no. Here's the deal. I don't tweet about that crap because I don't want to engage with people about this.
I'm trying to be careful because Twitter sucks so bad that I'm like, you know, I'm going to try to say something positive about everything. Hey,
I'll tweet
good
something
news for Kansas
during
is, it doesn't,
the
you know,
Chiefs game. That's when you'll get a tweet from me.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Well, good. That's tweeting. That place is not toxic at all.
Well, that's
so
just
good.
Mostly like a good play.
Even that, oh, how condescending.
Hey, you want to be condescending? Here, I'll be condescending now. I don't want to text with someone I don't know, which is basically what Twitter is. I don't want to send you a text.
That just made me laugh.
If scam likely comes up on my phone, I don't answer it.
Right.
I do.
I don't want
to.
I usually answer them, and I put them on speaker, and they want to, you know, my warranty's almost up.
Oh,
the warranty
it?
I don't have. But
no, I had a cable/TV company call me and be like, yeah, we're calling to get a...
Does it have a bunch of letters in it?
A survey on your service. And
I get a call from that one.
I said, no. He goes, huh?
Oh, it's a real person?
I said, no. He goes,
no.
What do you mean? I said, no. He goes, I'm not following you, sir. I said, I don't have your service. How could I take a survey on the service? And click.
I get a call from that one. I think that's a computer. It says, hi, this is Amy from blah, 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 blah. How are you doing today? And I don't talk. And it goes, that's great. Blah, blah, blah. I could have said, I'm someone stabbing me right now. That
help.
Sounds great. Anyway, so that's basically what Twitter is. I'll engage with a friend on Twitter. But if someone I don't know sends me some sort of a tweet, why would I talk to them about something where all they're trying to do is troll me about the fact that my team...
Yeah,
failed at Bedlam.
Because you're bored.
And then the coach left.
Yeah, you're bored.
You know what I'm going to do? Well, that's the other thing that sort of ruined my Sporting KC experience. So I'm out there at the game, and all this Lincoln Riley crap happens during the game. So my wife's like, what are you doing? I said, well, Lincoln Riley's leaving. I got 500 texts. It's terrible.
Ugh, what a weekend. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We just spent the last segment talking about how social media is the root of all evil. So I acknowledge this fully before I say it.
So send some tweets out right now. Let's test it.
I sent a tweet out on Thanksgiving morning Allie Trost taught me that if you push the little bar graph thing on the bottom corner, it tells you about your tweets.
The analytics.
I sent the analytics on this tweet. I sent out a tweet on Thanksgiving morning that's made a million impressions. And I don't know if I've ever done that before, maybe back during the Super Bowl or something, because I never look at those things. But I just kept seeing this thing get retweeted and retweeted and
sell
liked
yourself.
And everything. Yeah, maybe, can I become an influencer now? But you know what the tweet was?
You are an influencer.
Of all the things you tweet, it was the picture of my backyard that I painted into the Chiefs football field.
Oh, I did see even someone complained about that, too.
Did somebody?
They didn't like the there's no hash. There was no hash.
No hash marks. Yeah, hash marks are better for stats. Well, some high school coaches site retweeted it. So I saw, all of a sudden, I started getting a bunch of high school coaches.
It's called going viral.
And most of them, were like, hey, that's the coolest thing ever, you know. And it made me happy because, honestly, I'm kind of embarrassed the whole time. It took me like 5 hours to do that field
on
Wednesday.
Because you had to scrub the soccer lines
off.
And
the look on Jake's face is the look that I feel like all my friends would give. It's like, what is wrong with you, dude? Like, what? Will you grow up? You know, like,
I can't find 5 hours to get my leaves off my yard.
There's a lot of other really important things I should be doing with that time. But I had the time. This is a new tradition. I just started it during the pandemic,
If you enjoy it.
It makes me so happy. Yeah, and I look out my backyard and I see a football field.
That's why you do it.
But the fact that it made a million impressions made me happy because it means that there's enough other people out there that still got that kid in them that wish they had a field in their backyard like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because my kids don't really care that much.
Did anybody hit the tree?
It's kind of cool.
Bragger, you got a field in your backyard.
Did anybody run into the tree?
No, but my nephew fell down, and I posted it on social media, and that was probably online bullying on my part, so I apologize for that,
Don't apologize for
family.
That.
Family.
But my nephew...
There's also in-person bullying.
He taunted me after every catch he made against me, and, you know...
There's no such thing as bullying within the family structure.
My nephew Merrick's a great kid.
Yeah. I think there is.
No. Yeah, probably.
If you're blood, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't know.
Beat him up. Go to fisticuffs if you have to.
Yeah. Let's go talk, Jake. On the next hot mic, let's talk about Jake and all the fights he got in with his brothers.
Yeah, it's all okay.
Only for blood, though.
Boy, we got much more coming your way right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and we'll wrap things up on 38 The Spot. All right, that's going to do it for our hour on television. We got much more to come on the show. Sam Mellinger will join us at 8 o'clock. Bill Maas will join us at 9.
Sam
Adam
will brighten the day.
Really? Right?
Let's hope so. Sam was on vacation. I want him to come in here and make us happy.
I feel like we've been pretty bright, really, considering everything. You know? Also, Adam Teicher. It's Chiefs-Broncos. Chiefs-Broncos, two teams above 500, well past week 10.
For first place.
Oh,
huh?
Man. We'll get ready for all that. It's all straight ahead on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll see you tomorrow morning on 38 The Spot.